Amen. I thought that sounded pretty good myself. I didn't know how a violin, trumpet, and piano would sound together, but one day I came home and they were playing and I thought, now that sounds pretty good. And so I'm grateful that they can play. And I'm so thankful what God is doing with our young people in our church and helping them to be more accomplished with their instruments and looking forward to what God's going to do in the coming days with that and all the music that we can enjoy. Psalm 27. Psalm chapter 27, if you would. What does America need? There's a lot of speculation of what that is. Economically, more money in the pockets of every American, and that's going to pull us out. Some sort of immunization that will take care of everybody. By the way, I'm not for these things that I'm saying necessarily. There could be something else that our world needs this. We need a leader that's going to stand up and do this. We need some sort of reform this way or that way. And there's all kinds of ideas out there of what our country needs. Some say that our people need to be restricted and stay home. And yet there are others that say that they need to get back and be with each other and be together. There are others that say this and others that say that. And in some sense, we're a divided nation concerning what we need. By the way, I would encourage you to get out and to vote on Tuesday so that we can do our duty as a citizen of the United States, so that we can see the leadership that God would want. And so I'd encourage you to be able to do that if you could. But what does our country need? You know, I appreciate the fact that, I struggled in the beginning having a balanced attitude when everything came out. Right away, we were supposed to close down, close our doors, not supposed to do anything, and we did. And again, that could be debated if, you know, what we did, why we did it, but we did. But there was a couple sides. And you remember a long time ago when we were here, I preached the message on being considered of either side. You remember that? Okay, and I think that that's right. We need to be considered of everybody's thoughts. Just because you're on one side or on the other, we need to be very careful with that. But right away there were things, and I'll just be honest with you. In the beginning, I really wasn't on the side of whether it was, something was really dangerous or not. That wasn't the point. But I was on a certain side of making sure that we respect other people, and I was struggling with some that were very militant on not, you know, honoring leadership. And I struggled with probably your fighting fundamentalist, which I agree with, you know, in doctrine and many practices, but I struggled the side of they're not going to pull me out of the pulpit, you know, and I'll die with my, you know, my tie on mentality. I struggled with that some because, of course, we just have been going through 1 Peter and the idea of respecting and, you know, of what they're suggesting, telling us, mandating, whatever it was. I struggled with it even though at heart that was probably a little bit more of some of my thoughts. Not they're going to have to pull me out of here, but boy, do we really need to do this? And again, I was a little bit confused of what was really necessary or not, to be honest about that. I remember the first Zoom meeting that I had with some other pastors. The guy that invited me, at that point it was evangelist Jonathan Barber. Do you remember Jonathan Barber, tall fellow that came and did evangelistic meetings many years ago? And he's a pastor now in Michigan, and he was, along with somebody else, leading a meeting for a bunch of pastors on how to react. Well, when I got the invite from him, I texted him back. I said, "What's the spirit of the meeting?" And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Is it a bunch of guys that are militant not to get out of church, or is it guys that just want to talk about what's wise?" And thankfully, he said, "It's just some pastors about how we need, what we need to do, and some ideas of what we can do while we're out." I said, "Well, then I'm happy to listen." And so I listened, but there was a group of people that is like, "Don't get me out. I don't care who comes. I'm going to stay preaching while they handcuff me and take me to the jail." You know that kind. And again, right or wrong, I'm not trying to make any point. I didn't like that, but you know, as I've gone through this and I've realized what is true, constitutional rights and legal, it got to a point where it says, you know what, it is right that we need to get back. It is right that we need to do what God wants us to do, because we're seeing the result of taking away God. You know, and I was thankful in the beginning that it wasn't. And one of my things that I contested to those militants was, but at least they did close the bars as well. You know, it wasn't like they closed the doors. I would have struggled a little bit if nothing else would have closed and they would have only closed the churches. You understand what I mean? I would have probably been more adamant if they were trying to take away our religious privileges very clearly in the beginning. And understand that any time they try to take religious freedoms away, I will be one militant to stand for what the Bible teaches. I want you to know that. Okay? Because there was some concern right away. You know, if, you know, they can get you to, you know, look at how fast the church has pulled away the pastors. Why? You know, now they got us. Understand, there was some confusion in the beginning about this. And I still would say I felt like I did the right thing, and we did the right thing of doing what we did. But as we start to understand, you know, it wasn't long, though, that I started to have a problem when certain, you know, I think it was distributors of alcohol were, you know, considered essential in the beginning. I struggled with that. I say, how is that essential? But I was grateful that I remember that list that I saw right away, that under the list of essentials, at least in Pennsylvania, churches were considered essential. And I was grateful for that. It wasn't, though, until there was more, at least verbiage, of restrictions on church recommendations, and yet bars or alcohol distributors were even more, you know, people were able to start going to them, then it really even started to hit home, like, something's not right. Something's not right when you can go and have this done or do this, and things that are completely opposite of God's word. Abortion clinics. I'm telling you, I'm struggling with that. Considered essential or life-sustaining? Isn't that a problem? Life-sustaining nothing. That is life-ending. And yet, the most conservative places of what can we do were pastors. You know what I'm talking about? There's a bunch of pastors all across. There was one meeting that I was with pastors, and supposedly the number was 300, 400, 500 or whatever like that were on at one time, and I was one of them. Pastor Bixler and I, Fellowship Baptist, we were both on that and watching. And probably the most, you know, conservative and scared people were the pastors, you know, of what we can do, and scared to do something. And I think in some ways, rightly so, but folks, I want to tell you something. It's just amazing that our country has come to the place that we, and I say we, not necessarily you, but our country is okay with leaving some of these places and declaring some of these places is very important. And we're sitting here scratching our heads and say, boy, can we have a few people in a Wednesday night prayer meeting? Do you understand what I'm saying? Something's wrong. What does America need? Psalm 27. Look at the first 6 verses. Very simple challenge I want to give you this morning. David writes, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I take comfort in Psalm 122, another Psalm of David in verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I don't know necessarily who David was waiting for to tell him that he could go into the presence of the Lord, but it makes sense right here with where we're at today. I was glad when finally it was declared that we could go back to church. I hope you share those sentiments. I trust you do as you are here this morning. Why did David cherish God's house so much? Now, can I say this? I will be the first to admit, when we read the house of the Lord here, there's reference to tabernacle, the house of the Lord, in other places, the house of God. Pastor, is he directly talking about what we call church today? Well, the word church isn't mentioned there. And so I want to be careful to say for sure that he was talking about church, but I will say this. He was talking about the place that was represented as God's presence. That is the overriding principle that is here. He wanted to be in the place that was designated as God's presence. Even for many years, the tabernacle indicated what? The presence of God. And it was a place where the presence of God was designated, and it was a place for his people to come to for God. And if the tabernacle wasn't with them, trouble, right? They needed that tabernacle. They needed, again, not so much the tabernacle, they needed God's presence. Okay, I want to make some applications this morning from this passage. Now, David does say that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Do we have today a tabernacle? Well, in some sense, yes. Could you use the word temple? I don't know that David was referring necessarily to the temple, but temple, tabernacle, all implied what? God's presence and a place for his service. Do we have that today? Well, in some cases, very individually and practically, we have our own bodies, which are the temple of the Holy Ghost, right? And so there's application there, but I think when David says, I don't think that David says, oh God, I'm just, you know, dwell with myself all the time. I think that he's talking about the presence of God in his tabernacle or the temple, and I think he's talking about a place where other people come together to worship. I believe that we can make good application that David is saying it's a good thing to be back in God's house. I do. Why did David? Notice the words that David used. Look at verse 4. One thing have I, what's the word? He desired it. It wasn't something that he was just to expect to do. I hope you didn't come to church today. Well, if I stay home, people are going to think that I'm not spiritual or not very godly, or I'll lose my opportunity to serve in this capacity. I hope what motivated you to come today was you were thirsty for a meeting. It has to be more than I was thirsty for God's word. Do you understand that? Because I've been trying to do my best to still give you God's word. It's got to be more than God's word. Do you understand that church is more than just hearing God's word? Because we can hear God's word, we can read God's word anywhere. It's more than just hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word. There's more to church. David was excited. He says, I have desired. One thing I have desired of the Lord, Jehovah. And then he says, what next? That will I seek after. He was ready to go to work. He was ready to find it. What can we do to get there? What can we do to make this happen? What can we do to get to that place so that we can be back in God's presence? And I praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit. I praise the Lord for the work of Jesus Christ, which declares us as temples. I praise the Lord that through the Holy Spirit I can worship on a mountaintop or in this building. Aren't you thankful that you can worship the Lord anywhere? I can pray when I'm at home. I can pray when I'm driving down the road. I can pray when I'm in jail, and I can pray from the pulpit. I can pray anywhere, and I'm thankful for that. But it's not enough. How do we know it's not enough? Because God didn't leave us just as individuals to do that. There's more than a temple than right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But David's not just talking about he's glad for God's presence when he wakes up in the morning and reads his Bible. It was more than that. It was to be in God's house. Why did David cherish it so much that he would desire it, that he would seek after, that he would dwell in the house of the Lord? How many days? David, one of the greatest kings, is not the only king that made comment like this. If I could be back, or if I could, you know what, the priests spent their time in the temple. David as a king couldn't really do that. And yet David as a king said, I wish that I could be like the priest and spend my days in the temple. Do you remember King Hezekiah when he was going to die? And what did he request of the Lord? He requested more days. And you know one of the phrases that he used? That I could be back in the house of God. Or I don't know if that's the exact words. Back in the place of God. Two kings. Kings said, I need to. That is a treasured place. Do you treasure this place this morning? I'm asking you, do you treasure this place? I'm not so much talking about the brick and mortar. I'm talking about, do you treasure what you've missed for the last several months? Do you treasure God's people? Do you treasure God's music? Do you treasure God's activity and God's service? Oh, my friend, I trust you do. But why is church so important? And can I stop here and say, this is a scary time in America, in the world. You know why it's scary? Because people have gotten comfortable with church at home. And I'll be the first to admit, it was pretty comfortable. Wow. You know what? You know, for the last while, I've been waking up fairly, not super early, but Ezekiel and I have come over to the church fairly early to get things started, you know, to make sure that everything's fine with the heating and the air conditioning, to come and make sure that the, you know, things are on and things are up and I've got things printed out and make sure that I'm prepared with the Lord and my prayers and doing this, and He helps me with some of those things. We come get ready for those things. You know what? Honestly, I'm just telling you my fleshly side. It was kind of, you know, I don't know that the first week or two, but after a while, you know, you kind of thought, man, I don't have a lot of work to do on Sunday. I'm kind of like the normal person. You know, understand that Sunday's my biggest work day. It's my most exhausting day. I'll admit to you that it was like pretty easy. Now, Thursday wasn't so easy. doing all that leading and singing and recording, and that was a hard day, but I was taking my 7-day week and scrunching it into about 4 days, and so that was harder for me. But boy, when that was done, I felt like I had an easier weekend, and I've never had Sundays like that, except for back when I was, before I was a pastor. And it got comfortable. I would say it was harder to listen to the preaching. It was harder because I didn't like listening to myself. That was harder. But it was harder because there's distractions. You know what? There's not a rule that you can't get up and use the restroom, or there's not a rule that, you know, the dog doesn't bark. We don't have a dog, but there's not a rule. Some of you might have, you know, experienced that. There's not a rule. You know, you got to do this, or somebody calls or texts, and you're sitting there. Oh, I don't know what you did, but if you're not very careful at protecting, it could get comfortable, couldn't it? You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you're not having to wake up as early. You're not having to be out as late. And you can, you didn't all know that those who watched the video that I could see you as well. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you that stayed in your PJs, you know, and eating popcorn during the message. Ah, I found you out. No, I couldn't see you. And I couldn't hear you. It kind of got a little relaxing, didn't it? And America discovered little church to big church. America discovered we can do church without the meeting. Now, I argue with that. You can't do church without a meeting. But America, they thought, discovered you can do church without a meeting. My friends, I want to tell you something. I fear, now, I'm not saying that I want certain churches always stay open. You understand when I say I don't want churches to close, I'm really not for other denominations closing, but I think it's just talking about religion. And religion is sending more people to hell than anything else. But understand what I say. We could be in scary times because the world or in the church has discovered that they can do it without the meeting place very well. They've got these meetings that they've figured out how to do it so people can see each other, and they can talk to each other, and they can do it in their own home without any other inconvenience of dressing different or getting ready, and doing it the way I want to. And you know what? I can slip in the message anytime that I want to through the week. I can do this and still feel good about myself and still enjoy a day that's so sunny and beautiful like today and take my boat to the shore. I can do it because now we're just meeting with a small group through a Zoom meeting. Now I have this. Now I have nobody watching me and I can do this. And my fear is that America is going to see more churches moving to more of this. Because through this pandemic, we've seen that we could do it. And I heard pastors on some of those meetings that were not in our camp. I heard some of those pastors say, you know what, we're just going to stick with it longer because it's working. Something like that. We're going to do this. We're not rushed to get back. Now, some of those churches were multi-thousand member churches. They have bigger things to do, by the way, to prepare for people coming in. I admit that. It's harder to facilitate, you know, a couple thousand people. I understand that, but it just seemed like, it seemed like to me there wasn't a rush to get back, though. But maybe some of you were saying, you know, what is the big deal? Why do we need to get back? Preacher's preaching. Music's playing. We can talk with each other. This works pretty good. Maybe you have thought to yourself, is it that important really that we meet on Sunday? Physically. I cannot address all these issues and questions this morning. I want you to pray because I would like to take this question, is church so important, and turn it into maybe another series, and I don't know when that's going to be. Yes, we're still going through 1 Peter. Yes, we're doing In Step with Jesus on Sunday night, and we've been going through prayer on Wednesday night. You say, what are you going to do, make another service? No. But you be praying, because I would really like to take this and rebound off it, because I would like everybody that comes to this building to know that church is essential. I want everybody to know that church is life-sustaining. I want everybody to know when they come, because I want to tell you, and I'm not going to scare you, because I don't know anything. I'm not going to be proud and say, I know what's coming down the pike. This group is trying to get this, and our government's trying to do that. I don't know, and I'm not going to pretend to know. But it could be that there's going to be pressure to get away from this. And I want us to be so stead, rock, fast, solid in what we believe is right, that we will stand for the truth and not cave into, is it that big of a deal? Because we can do it. And I'll tell you, before we get into the big part of it, I want to say it is a big deal, and we ought to do this right here. It's not church if we don't meet. The word church in the New Testament is the word ekklesia. It's an out assembly, or if we switch it, it's an assembly called out. It's a group of people that are called out. If you just stop with a group of people called out, we can refer to that as the, sounds like a Catholic term, the universal church, but I'm talking about the body of Christ, all saved people. But it's more than just a group of people that are called out. It's an assembly of people that are called out. So what does that mean when we're not assembled? We're not acting as church. We're not. Now I understand, I'm not saying that Faith Bible Church ceased to exist while we were doing it because we weren't meeting. But if we would decide to go to that, it's not a church that just meets through a Zoom meeting. Do you understand that? It's not a church. Because there's more important things than talking through God's Word and sharing with other people what we're learning through our devotions. It's much more than that. Why did David cherish this so much? Just a couple things before we close. This is just a very start, a tip of the iceberg of where we're going to go. However, I'm asking you to pray for me, because I don't know how we're going to do this. I don't know what we're going to do, but I think it's important. I want you to know why. Why is it important to do church? Why is it important that we get together, that we sacrifice our home, our time, our energies, get dressed up and come here to serve and to worship? I just want to look at a couple things as we're just about out of time. A couple things from Psalm 27, verses 1 to 3. I'm just going to spend a very short amount of time on this. But did you notice David's confidence in the Lord? And he's not really talking so much about church, but he's talking about enemies. He's talking about different ones that could overtake him. And David found his confidence in the Lord, right? His enemies, his foes, you know, came upon him to eat of his flesh. And look in verse 3, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. David found comfort with the presence of God. He knew that when he was in God's presence, he was safe from everything else. My brothers and sisters, when we're in the presence of God, we're safe. And verse 5 talks more of that. Although it doesn't use the words, the house of the Lord, it does use, does it use the word tabernacle? What is verse 5? He uses the word pavilion, and then he says in his tabernacle, and we understand that he's talking about in the presence of the Lord. Do you know the word pavilion? I think it's a different language. I forget which it's derived from. This word is, the word butterfly is associated with, like the butterfly or that goes, you know how they go through the cocoon stage? Yeah, that process. There's the scientist right there, that metamorphosis. Okay, They're in the cocoon, right? And that word means that, the pavilion. It means that they're in that, they're in there, and they're protected. All around, surrounded by. Okay, the pavilion. You know, I want to tell you, he's talking about the presence of the Lord, but even though I don't know if I can argue hard that verse 5 is really talking about the house of God, I really think it makes good practical application that it is. Okay? Surrounded with God's presence. And I say, what's the best place to be surrounded in God's presence? Here, And there's more evidence in verse 4. Okay? So, David is here. He's saying, all that I need is the Lord. But notice David's avenue to the presence of the Lord. It was the house of the Lord. And David cherished it. He desired it. He never wanted to leave. And so important to him. First of all, notice the discovery of God. He says in the middle, at the end of verse 4, he said, all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Did you catch that? Why did he cherish the Lord's house? To behold the beauty. What does it mean to behold? To see. To experience. I think we could even say to hear from, to testify. As we hear of God's goodness, as we see God's beauty, it's to be in the middle of that. Church is a place to behold God's beauty. You know, there are examples of places in the physical world that we go to behold God's beauty through nature. You travel to Yellowstone to see the beauty of the geysers and Old Faithful and the majestic mountains. You travel to different national parks. You travel to Alaska to see the majesty of those, the beauty of that place. You travel to the Grand Canyon, so different, to behold the beauty of God's creation there. We go to the Niagara Falls to see the power that comes down through the force of water. And I could go on and on and on. We could go across the sea and visit the small island of Pohnpei where Nathan and Hannah met. And we got so many pictures from them, and the water was crystal clear. And you see the white sandy beaches, you know, the white sand below the water, and the coral reefs and the stuff. And you don't have to go very far to see God's beauty through nature. But we travel to these places to see it. But for God's inward beauty and His spiritual beauty, we travel one place. And that's to the house of God. We come to the house of God where we can see God's beauty. God's beauty. Do you desire to see God's beauty? Not just in creation, but His inward spiritual beauty. You know, we've grown cold to it, but when we study God's names, it's beautiful. And do you know that you find your trust and your peace through God's name? Because when you know that He is the provider, it helps you be at peace when you don't know how to pay your bills. When you know God's the protector, it helps you when you're in that scary situation and you feel like physically you're going to die. When you know God is the shepherd and you don't know where to go, you know His name and you trust in Him. His name is beautiful, and the church is a place where we go to learn God's name. The church is a place to where we go to learn His attributes, His sovereignty, His power, His ability to know everything and to be everywhere at one place, at one time, helping everybody through every one of their struggles, and that He cares. It's the place to learn His ways and His actions. It's important that we come to God's house to worship. To worship is to come and recognize who God is and bow our heads down and say, "You are worthy." And church is a place to do it. It's the place to do it. I'll say more about the place here in just a moment. To worship. We worship the Lord in this place through singing. And you know what? That was limited. Maybe you and your spouse, or you alone, or you and your family sang while I did a horrible job trying to sing and lead. And probably you sounded as bad as I did. Just kidding. Probably better. I know sometimes my family, I was leading, and I don't know if I stayed on pitch, but sometimes we weren't on the same pitch that I was on. We got to the end, and we all looked at each other. And I hoped so bad that it was Ezekiel and not me. Because I thought if it was me, then everybody heard me. But we only heard Ezekiel. And so, and I'm kidding about Ezekiel, okay? But we missed that. We missed that. We could not worship the same way that way. We couldn't hear of other people and what God has been doing in their lives. Wednesday night, I know that was only a handful of you, but I went around the room and it was small. I think there was only 27 here on Wednesday night. But I went around and said, you family, what's been going on? And there were some that didn't say much. There were some that said more. We've had this go on and we had this. And, we missed some of that. We don't know. We didn't know. Unless you got on the phone, unless you sent that email or that text or you saw somebody at the store. And if you saw them, you probably didn't recognize them because, their mask. Did you find that? I felt like, I was going there and I couldn't recognize anybody. And then after a while, I was like, wait a second, that was so-and-so, But it was hard. Oh, do you treasure the things of the Lord? Singing, testifying, praying, supporting. We didn't get to pray together. I led you in a word of prayer on Wednesday night, but I'm not saying it didn't avail much, and I trust that all the prayers around your homes availed. I trust that it did, but there wasn't the corporateness about it that we love to see. We're just going to end with this next thing. I want you to see his truth. So David said, to worship. He didn't use those words. But he says in verse 4, he said that he could behold the beauty of the Lord. He said that I could just continually be reminded of who God is. And then his truth. We see in the last statement there, and to inquire in his temple. The word inquire is to seek. To look for, to consider, to reflect. It's to go to a certain place and get your instructions of what you're supposed to do. Where you're to do it, how you're to do it. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 gives us a little insight on this truth. 1 Timothy 3:15, listen to the words that are used. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now just notice these words, the pillar and the ground of truth. Now let me correct something that is in other religions that is wrong. We don't believe that all knowledge of the scriptures comes from the source of the church. You know what I mean when I say that? There are some churches that tell their congregants, their people, that you can't discern God's word without us. Do you know what I mean? You need me, or you need the church, to decipher what God's word says. And therefore, you don't need to read God's word. We will tell you what God's word says. FBC people, is that wrong? Yes. Can an individual hear God from the scriptures and read God's word on their own? What's the answer? Yes. Aren't you thankful for that? Yes. You don't need me, so to speak, to tell you what each passage means to be a Christian. But did you notice what the words that's usually, then pastor, what does it mean? Because it says the church is the pillar and ground of truth. It didn't say the source of truth. Who's the source of truth? Christ is. He said the church is the pillar, the ground of truth. What's a pillar? I just liken the analogy that is used here of a building. And I believe that's where we take it as a building. And I'm not talking about this building, but a pillar is something that holds something up. Picture for me a platform. Now, this isn't held, in a sense it is held up by pillars. If you were to take the internal structure of this, you'd probably see some upright vertical 2x4s or whatever like that that's holding this platform up. There's some sort of a structure. And what's the purpose of this platform? It's to lift it up. Is there a reason why I always don't preach down here? Or at this level? Okay? There is a reason. You say, well, I can still barely see you and I can hear. There's a reason why the Word of God should be lifted up here, because it designates a place of proclamation. This is important, and we pillar it up. Does that make sense? And guess where God made the truth to be the place where to go to find out? We have different places where if we want certain information, we go here. The library. I want to learn about this, so we go to the library. I want to learn about this, so I go to the courtroom. I want to learn about this, and so I go outside. And where is the place that the truth of God has been designated to herald the truth? According to 1 Timothy, it is the church. It's the church. The church is the place. Now, can you read your Bible at home and hear the truth? Yes. But the main place of proclamation is this house. This place right here. And David says that I may go and inquire of the Lord. I want to go and find out what God wants me to do. I want to go get my instructions of where to do it, how to do it, when to do it. God's truth is the main event, and we lift it up. The what of the Christian life, that's the biblical content. The why of the Christian life, that's the biblical conviction. The how of the Christian life, the biblical conduct. And pastors and teachers are given to the church to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Pastors are to feed the flock, to pass along the truth of God's word. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And folks, that is very clear. Mark it down. We cannot do church at home with just a husband and wife. God never gave husband or daddy that place. He did give them to herald the truth, but not in the place of heralding the truth. No, he gave the church the place where we learn where and how and what. It's the church. It cannot be replaced by any other means. And people, my friend, I'm telling you, I fear that it's going to try to be replaced. But let's not let it be replaced. Let's not let it be replaced. And I have more to say. What does America need? America needs God. What has God given for the world to see God? In the New Testament, God gave who? Jesus. As a clear and vivid picture, and Jesus said, to see me is to see the Father. And then Jesus left. Not really, but physically he left. And where is Jesus physically now? You know that Jesus is physical? You know that Jesus is physically with God? You know Jesus is physical? And Jesus will return physically. But Jesus physically is not gone, but he's away, in a way, in a sense. And what has God given to us, not in place of Jesus, or rather of Jesus, but that more work could be done than just with Jesus? And I don't mean that lightly, to say just with Jesus. What has God given? God's given the Holy Spirit, but he's given the church as the visible body of himself. The world will not see God without us. And I'm not just talking about creation. You see, they only get partial of a rendition of who God is with creation. They cannot see the special revelation without Jesus and the church. The scriptures. being opened up and expounded in the Scriptures. Is God's church important? It is, and I'm just starting. I want us all to be very clear that nothing can replace what is happening right here today. Nothing. It's got to be right here. We praise the Lord that we have been able to meet in our very limited way in the past many weeks, months. But we ought to, like David, be thankful. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Father, would you please help us to see this? And if there are people out here this morning that don't see it yet, God, I pray that your word would penetrate their hearts so that they can be convinced that they could see it and that they would be knowing that it's essential. God, help us to see it. Thank you for your good word. Thank you for your good word. And may we trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.